So David is king again. His enemies have been defeated. And that gives him all the more reason to celebrate, to praise God. And that is what 2 Samuel 22 is. Verse 1, David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. He said, the Lord is my rock. Isn't that good? How many of us can say that? The Lord is my rock. He is the cornerstone of my life. He's my foundation. He is the one in which I get my standing and my sure footing. He is my fortress. So not just the foundation, but the walls, the protection, and my deliverer. So he's the one that takes care of those burdens, those problems, those enemies on our behalf. On our behalf. So, you know, looking forward into the book of Revelation, the Bible talks about the battle of Armageddon, right? And how are they going to be defeated? By the sword of the Lord, by the word of his testimony. So it's not that we're going to be fighting. You know, we talk about armies and we're not going to be the ones fighting. The Lord's going to take care of it. And he takes care of it today. If we'll leave it to him, he'll take care of it. How many of us ever got in God's way? Anybody? We need to stay out of God's way. The God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower, my refuge. How many of you can relate to that? My refuge. My refuge. That safety where you go. Does anybody have a place where they run to hide? You don't want to tell us, do you? Don't tell us where it is. A place to go, though. And running to God. He is the one that gives us safety and a place of peace and sanctuary. He is my Savior and saves me from violence. Verse 4, I will call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised. Y'all, did any of you sing that song as you were reading this? Huh? He is the rock. You know the song I'm talking about? Y'all don't know that song? I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Y'all don't know that song? Just sounds better when other people sing it. But he is the one that's taking care of us. And, you know, David, as he's aged, he's gone through all of this. Look back at his experiences when his brothers treated him like a runt and his father did too. When he shows up in the Valley of Elah and they say, you're out here for mischief, go away. But he defeats the giant. When he's called because of his cunning musician, his ability, he's called to the house of Saul to play for the king when the king is having nightmares and anxiety. And David is there, and we go through the friendship, and then Saul, who he looked to as a father, tries to kill him. And Jonathan, who he looked to as a brother, is killed. And then his own son betrays him. He looks at his life and what he's learned and how he's grown. And he finally reaches a point and he says, God, you've been there the whole time. And I worried about it and I tried to work it out. But you were the rock and you were the walls and you were the deliverer. You were the refuge. And we need to do that. We need to take account and look at what God has done for us. Verse number 5, when the waves of death compassed me, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. Verse 7, in my distress, I called upon the Lord, cried to my God, And he did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his ears. In all of the troubles of life. Now, as David looks back, he can see that. I don't know if you'd say the same thing about yourself, but sometimes when we're in the midst of it, we can't see that. Sometimes in our burden and in our crisis, we cry out to God and we think he doesn't hear. And we think he's not listening. And we begin to search and say, did I do something to push God away? And we cry out to God and maybe we can't tell that he's listening. But then when we look back, we can see he was there the whole time. That he didn't leave us. That maybe he didn't give us the answer we wanted because the answer we wanted would not have been best. But he took care of things. And that's what David begins to see as he looks back. And again, when we're in the midst, it's hard to see God's hand. But when we look back, his fingerprints are all over it. And that's what David's talking about. In verse number 18, he delivered me from my strong enemy, from them that hated me. They were too strong for me. They were too strong for me. I couldn't have done it by myself. It was too strong for me. And there are things in our lives, no doubt, that we've tried to rid ourselves of, but they were too strong for us. And the only way we could get rid of those things in our lives is if we gave them to God and said, God, you got to take this from me. Verse 19, they prevented me in the day of my calamity. But the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands has he recompensed me. Now, don't misunderstand. What David is saying here is not about being haughty or being proud. But guys, sometimes we have to share what God's done for us. And it's not to brag, but it's to be an example to others. And that's what David is doing here. He's saying, look, God's been good to me, but I know this. I know that the reason he is good to me is because I didn't get my hands dirty with sin. Now, we look at David's life, and what do we see? We see some sin. But we see those sins were highlights in his life. Name a sin of David. Okay, Bathsheba. Okay, her husband. That's two. What's that? Other women, okay, that's three. Okay, staying home when it was time to go to battle. Okay, what? Numbering the people. That's five. How many of y'all committed more than five sins in your life? See, we look at David's life. Right, some said five already today. We look at David's life and we can find five faults. And it really hurts our perception of who David is. In fact, not just David, but everybody else too. Right? When I won't even do it, but I was going to say a name and you'd say, well, we know what he did. But you know what? There was one thing. And it ruined his ministry. And it ruined his reputation. It ruined his testimony. One thing, one time. All right. That's right. So, you know, as David looks back on his life, he understands this, that part of his success comes back to his self-control. Part of his success is because he had self-control. He sees God's hand. He's already talked about that. But as he's writing this so that others will read it, he's saying, but don't think you can straddle the fence and be successful. Don't think you can keep your hands in sin and just ask God to wash them every day. The Lord, verse 21, rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me. As for his statutes, I did not depart from them. I was also upright before him and have kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore the Lord hath recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness in his eyesight. So the self-control, the self-discipline made a difference in his life. And David is not trying to tell us that he's perfect because he knows he's not. But self-control is a bunch of it. Because let's look at what happened when he sinned. He numbered the people. What did God do? He judged them. Didn't just judge him, judged the nation. When David sinned with Bathsheba and had Uriah killed, what did God do? He judged him. He punished him. There was consequence for that sin. Every time that we see David's sin, we see consequence for David's sin. So don't imagine that God let him get away with it. But once it was done, David was able to continue. He was able to stand again for God. Well, and we look at the Psalms that David wrote, and we see the repentance. You know, though he sinned, he turned to God and said, God, I'm sorry. Now, it took him a while, didn't it? He didn't repent till the preacher came and knocked on his door and said, thou art the man. But once that happened, it broke him. He realized, you know, people carry that guilt and that shame, and they think they've hidden it so well that nobody will ever know. And then somebody says, it's not a secret. And all of a sudden, what are they able to do? They're able to relax and confess. Just don't put on a show. Nobody wants to believe in the pretend you. We believe in you. We want to see who you are. So be sincere, be transparent, be honest. Verse 27, with the pure. Oh, let's go back to verse 26. With the merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful. How did Jesus phrase that? You reap what you sow? With the upright man, thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure, thou wilt show thyself pure. With the froward, thou wilt show thyself unsavory. The afflicted people thou wilt save, but thine eyes are upon the haughty, that thou mayest bring them down. Again, David wasn't being haughty by sharing, you know, hey, self-control went a long way. He was just making an admission. Verse 29, for thou art my lamp, O Lord, and thou wilt lighten the darkness. Thou wilt lighten my darkness. The Lord will lighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop. By my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. That's what we need to know. His way is perfect. His plan is perfect. That's why we need to listen to him. Take his counsel. Let him speak to our hearts. Verse 38, I have pursued mine enemies and destroyed them and turned not again until I had consumed them. I have consumed them and wounded them, and they could not arise. Yea, they're fallen under my feet. For thou hast girded me with the strength to battle. Them that rose up against me, thou hast thou subdued under me. Who does David give the credit to? God. He gives God credit. Yes, he had a part in it. When David stayed home, what happened? Sin entered in. But when David went to work, God magnified the work. And as Christians, if we just expect we're going to sit back and just wait for God to do something great in our lives, we're mistaken. Many times somebody will say, pray about this situation, give me some situation, and it's somebody I don't know. You know, pray for my aunt or whatever. Well, I don't know their aunt, but you know what I do? I say, God, make their prayer magnified. Attach my burden to their prayer and hear me and hear them. Right? I don't know who, you know, that aunt is. I've never met her before. But God can take your prayer and amplify it and make it that much greater of a prayer. And so that's what I pray when I don't have that personal connection. I can still pray. Just pray different. Verse 42, they looked, but there was none to save, even unto the Lord, but he answered them not. Then did I beat them as small as the dust of the earth. I did stamp them as the mire of the street, and did spread them abroad. Thou also hast delivered me from the strivings of my people. You see, it wasn't just trouble from without. It was trouble from within. And sometimes that's the bigger trouble, isn't it? Sometimes our biggest trouble is those in our gates. He says, "And thou hast delivered me from the strivings of my people." Verse 44, thou hast kept me to be head of the heathen. Anybody ever felt like you were the head of the heathen? A people which I knew not shall serve me. Remember this. Hold on. David was Jewish. And when he left and went to Ziklag, the Bible says that there were some of those derelicts, best term I can come up with, that found him and made him their leader. Right? He said, you made me the head of the heathen. Nobody wanted him. The credit score wasn't great. They couldn't. Their job history wasn't great. They had probably had a few run-ins with the law. You know, if you looked at their lives, it was not the type of example that we would follow. But they needed leadership. Maybe that was the problem. Maybe they didn't have a father figure, and so they just kind of ran wild until they found somebody that could be the father figure to them, and that was David. And they looked at David to be the man in their lives. These are men I'm talking about. But they needed a strong male role model. And they attached themselves to David and became his soldiers and became his bodyguards. Verse 45, strangers shall submit themselves unto me. As soon as they hear, they shall be obedient unto me. Look at what David says. David says, God, I realize it wasn't me that attracted them. How many people has God brought in our lives simply because we needed them? And we didn't know how much we needed them until God brought them. God was bringing people into our lives and we had no idea, no expectation. Verse 46, strangers shall fade away. They shall be afraid out of their close places. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock. Exalted be the God of the rock of my salvation. It is God that avengeth me and that bringeth down the people under me. Verse 51, he is the tower of salvation for his king. All right. Let's take a break.